Hello and welcome to the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Daryl White and Jeremy Vest. Got something to say? Then crack open a cold one and leave us a message on the 24/7 Drunk Dial voicemail line at 702-530-5564. Enjoy the show and remember, friends don't let friends trade drunk.
Anyways, we won't do the what you drink and drop today. We'll save that for another time. But what are you drinking today?
We got some, I haven't had this in a while, but it's a 21st Amendment Brewery Hell or High Watermelon. It's a watermelon wheat beer. It's a seasonal thing they do. It's pretty good. Just as good as I remember it. It's not my favorite beer, but it'll do.
Nice. I've got a Jameis pre-mixed Jameson and ginger thing. It was at, I played football, flag football on Sundays, and then we go to like a little bar afterwards. So I did, they had some like to-go things. So I grabbed that and a Jim Beam highball. But I also do have, I don't know if you recognize this.
Caught a glimpse of that.
Yeah.
Got a little excited.
The Dominga Mimosa Sour. So yeah, it's not bad. I don't know if I'd buy it regularly, but I guess maybe I'd want more like of a orange taste to it, I guess. But
yeah, it's all right in a pinch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too bad.
It's a nice dry mimosa flavor.
Yeah, it had a six pack, so just kind of drink those through the week. So it was pretty nice, but I made sure to save one just for this. So
nice.
But
take a shot.
Rookie mini camp hype. So obviously, is it still going on? I mean, or I think it's already right, wrapped up, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking through some Twitter notifications, like from Rappaport, definitely not Schefter, a minute ago, and there was some minicamp stuff still going on. I think the big thing was Treylon Burks had to like exit practice and use his inhaler or something like that the first day. But then he came back the next day and was totally fine, showed him going through all the drills and stuff. So just a momentary lapse there for him.
Robert Woods is going to be the number one wide receiver in NFL next year.
Let's hope, for your sake, man.
Jesus. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah. So rookie makeup, anything really about rookies in general, right? Could be your take a shot. So we're obviously going to talk about rookies and maybe some hype here. So maybe a little drinking along.
Yep.
No drunk dials, tweets or anything really this week. So we'll go right into Dynasty little three pack real quick.
No more radio station MILF sitting us up on the drunk dial one.
Unfortunately, not never returned a call or anything. So that's unfortunate. So hit us up. No drop for a three pack. So what do you got?
Jarvis Landry ended up signing with the Saints. I guess he's from down there in Louisiana, so that's good for him, and 1 year deal, so he'll hit the market again next year. So hoping that he does well. Then Brian Edwards, I just saw this. I didn't even hear about this. Like I said, I was gone all weekend, not really paying attention to my phone much at all. But Brian Edwards traded to the Falcons for 23rd, 5th, and 7th. Sounds about right for him. At this point, hasn't done shit. So, Jerry Jeudy arrested for second degree criminal tampering with domestic violence enhancer. All the news I'm seeing on this is it's likely going to get thrown out. Even the so-called victim wants it thrown out and says she never felt threatened by him ever. And the owner of the Broncos came out and said it should have never happened. It's just a misdemeanor. So maybe the NFL will not really look too much into it, but it's about all we can say about it.
I know, cops or, whatever, live PD, if the cops got called for anything, even like close to domestic, like somebody was getting arrested no matter what.
So, oh, yeah. It was either the man or the woman was getting arrested. But
somebody had to leave, you know. So
by all accounts, the way this this charge is second degree criminal tampering can be as simple as like hiding, like locking someone's phone in a car or something like that, or hiding their phone from them. So doesn't sound too crazy.
Yeah. After you kind of talked about it, I initially thought maybe 6 games, but now it seems more like if anything 2, and maybe even drop down to 1 after an appeal. So,
yeah,
not too worried there. I was hoping for Tim Patrick's season though. So, I mean, not that I want Judy to be in trouble, but I got plenty of shares of Tim Patrick. So, but I still think it's possible. Real quick, with Landry, do you think there's any risk to Olave?
I kind of think this hurts Michael Thomas a little more than Olave, honestly.
Okay.
Him and Thomas kind of have a similar games. I think Olave is going to be more their field stretcher, at least this year, while those two guys are there.
Yeah, makes some sense. And then I don't really care about Landry anyways. And then same with Bryan Edwards. So yeah, if Derek Carr couldn't unlock him, I don't think Marcus Mariota is, who was the backup to Carr. So yeah. Not much
else. Desmond Ritter.
yeah. No, I'm saying, well, yeah, I mean, either one of them, I guess you can point out, but, I think Mariota starts and then Ritter's by about, I don't even know when their bye week is, but
yeah, you're fine. Right.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll kind of just scream right into these rookies here.
I remember my first beer.
Nice little break to get set up and moved here. So let's start off with Rashad White, running back to Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa Bay picked him up to looks like be Fournette's backup. He's 6 foot, 214 pounds, 4.4840 out of Arizona State. He was there for, basically started for them for 2 years. Shortened season in 20 for COVID. They only played 4 games or something like that. But positives on Rashad White. Basically avoids all the messiness at the line of scrimmage, bounces things outside when there's a big crowd in there. Makes good fast decisions and sharp cuts. Got a very good lateral agility. Forces missed tackles with good vision and quick feet. A good clean acceleration after cuts. So when he's cutting, he doesn't really lose a lot of speed, and then he's accelerating out of those cuts pretty easily. His feet are always moving, which helps him break and peel off tackles, especially of the arm variety where guys get a hold of his legs or his feet and he just kind of pulls out of it. Above average body control and receiving traits. So he had 48 targets in 2021. It's pretty good for a college wide receiver or college running back, not wide receiver. We're talking about running backs this week.
I have something on that. So
yeah, exactly. So that's alluding to something else. Yeah. He had a first down or a touchdown on 44.2% of his 224 touches at Arizona State. Very impressive there. On for the not so impressive. Gets caught from behind due to average long speed. So just not a lot of breakaway stuff going on in his game. Average physicality and balance slows his momentum through contact. So he's not really breaking a whole lot of runs after contact. Not always patient at the line of scrimmage, can get caught up with some blockers and stuff like that inside. So focused on the man in front of him, he often cuts into trouble. So he's just kind of lacks awareness outside of what's going on, like kind of hyper-focused right in front of him.
Yep.
And then the last thing here, pass blocking, not great. Limited special teams and return experience. So he's got the knock for pass blocking. Knock for no special teams experience or limited special teams and not a lot of returning going on in this game. What do you see?
Yeah, I went through like weird phase of like being excited and not being excited about him. You know, like it was like weird. Like there were some points I'm like, oh, okay. Like I could see some good stuff out of him. And other times I was just like, oh man, I don't know. But immediately it kind of jumps out to me. It's maybe more of a note at the end, but is Tom Brady's James White in Tampa now. So just, you know, that pass catching back that he's so often used. So I think others have brought that up as well, but let me see here. Yeah. He scored in all but 2 games in 2021. So that's pretty nice. 13 yards per route run at 2.24. So definitely some of this receiving stuff, right? I think he could have had 3 years of 1,000 yards, but COVID, obviously his average was skewed in that COVID year was like 10.9, but his pace could have easily made him at three year 1,000 yard back. So, and 98% target share here. So So, and I think I have this kind of marked as negative, but I may mess this up. But Arizona State University staffers say 6'2", 210 pound back, gets better every day, easily hits 22 miles per hour on the GPS, and also squats 500 pounds and power cleans 300. So very physical dude, very fast. I could see that. And this kind of alludes to what you're saying. He looks like a wide receiver when he runs. Like, he doesn't look like a running back to me, like, at all. He seems just very high, and just his body movements and whatever, it just seems more like a wide receiver when he's running with the ball. So, and then he just doesn't look that fast either to me. So his 40 time isn't horrible. I mean, obviously it's not great, but it's game speed looked off. So the idea that he can be their, you know, take over Fournette and be the all down guy, I think is incorrect. I mean, I like him where he's going, maybe ADP wise, and I would take a risk on him because of the passing down work and the catches, because those are, especially in PPR league, those are high value. He looks like a wide receiver trying to play running back, and I don't think that's a good mixture.
Like Antonio Gibson, who's going to get taken over by a guy we're talking about later.
Yeah, pretty much. I would say, like, he's more of a wide receiver than Gibson is. I'm feeling, after doing some of this research, we'll bring it up, but I'm okay with him where you're going to get him. I'm just not excited about any long term. Yeah. You know, so
I think him and Gibson are about the same size too. Like, measured about the same, 6 foot two. I think Gibson's like 220, something like that. But final drunk thought here. I think he's a good backup, capable of steady playing time, but not really going to be a feature guy ever.
Yep. Yeah, I think he's always going to be the receiving back of an offense or something. You know.
Yeah.
And even then, like, if they can, like, get somebody that's super talented that can do everything, then he could have easily disappeared.
Yeah.
You know.
He's like DMing people that are talking trash about him on Twitter and stuff, like saying that I'm not Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones is his own guy. Like, that guess people are saying he's going to be the next Ronald Jones down there. And he's like, I'm better than him, basically.
I think he can be better than Ronald Jones. So yeah, no,
at least he can catch the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
Ronald Jones can't do that.
I agree. I did think I saw one of those, but yeah, no, I agree. I think he's probably better than Ronald Jones. So, and I was never high on Ronald Jones. So, But Fournette proved he could catch the ball too this last season. So I don't know. This may be a longer, like, obviously a longer play for Tampa. But I don't think that's a longer play in terms of, like, every down back kind of thing. Just somebody that's can get into the passing game and do some different stuff, you know, than maybe Fournette or whoever they bring in the next 2 years. So. All right, another pretty good landing spot here. Damian Pierce to the Texans.
Yeah, it looks like we're the Houston Texans took Damian Pierce, running back 5'10", 218, ran a 4.59 40. Nothing else really of note in his measurables. The positives on him: compact build. Thought he really looks like an NFL running back out there. Runs with attitude and power in his lower body. Excellent contact balance and instincts between the tackles. Doesn't really lose his footing too much when running down there. Caught all 19 targets in 2021. So as you can tell, 19 targets, not a lot of passing game work, but he got it done when it was thrown his way. 441 special team snaps. Always like to see that. They're mostly coverage snaps for him. 13 rushing touchdowns in 2021. Like, that's second all time in Florida history for a running back behind Emmitt Smith. Displays humble confidence instilled by his parents. Went into the stands to thank the Florida band after the 2021 bowl game. So always like seeing stuff like that. I actually remember watching that game live, and it's always good to see stuff like acknowledging the people that don't get acknowledged very much. So
yeah.
Good character stuff going on there. Negatives. Doesn't really have the speed to bounce runs outside successfully too much. Not a home run threat. Only two runs of 25 plus yards the last two seasons. His vision is kind of hot and cold. Like he looks like he can see the field pretty well some downs, and other downs he's like looks like he's a blind man out there. Invites contact rather than trying to avoid. Maybe that's a little harsh. I wouldn't say he looks like a blind man, but blurry vision. Invites contact rather than trying to avoid it. And then he never reached 600 yards rushing in a season. What do you got?
Yeah, something you usually try to squeeze in here, but I got to do these before you did. No fumbles in 20 or 21 season.
Yeah, I actually paid attention to what you wrote and tried not to overlap any. So that's a first for me.
Yeah. Well, usually you get to it first, and then I find in little other nuggets and stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, tough runner. Yeah, I know he invites, you know, versus into contact versus avoiding it. But that's also a thing to said about, like, you know, just running through contact. So there was a TD in particular, and I'm sure you've seen this, is a touchdown was called back for the fact that his helmet came off. So it came off and he kept like running through and scored, but it was played called dead, obviously, because the helmet. So special teams experience, of course. He had the third most forced missed tackles per attempt and per reception, according to PFF. So you got that nice kind of elusiveness, I guess. It's like weird. Like he doesn't avoid contact, but yet he saws a lot of forced missed tackles. So
yeah.
This is probably a good landing spot for a chance to actually have some decent production. I don't know how long is kind of the question. Because I think his production is kind of suspect. Never over 100 yards, a high of 87, and no more than 23 total snaps. So that's a little worrying, but that also means he's got some tread on the tires, right? He just doesn't look that fast either. So just on the game film, it's kind of you know. So it looks like he could have some like goal line work, stuff like that. And I mean, kind of looks like a touchdown vulture to me. So, because he just, I don't know what else he could do personally, you know, just from what I looked at, a lot of the highlights were the short yardage stuff. And, so I think he's fine for where he's landing for sure. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the most exciting part. And his ADP feels fine. Because basically after the first two running backs, it's just a huge drop off anyways. So there's nothing wrong with taking something like him in the second round and with a good landing spot. So
yeah, probably one of the best landing spots out of all these guys. Yeah. The final drunk thought here, NFL build, his run style and the great landing spot makes him a likely starter soon. So probably couldn't ask for a better situation for this guy. I actually just took him in that two JTVs league I was just talking about before we started. I took him at 206. So that's probably, I've seen him go as high as like 111, 112. And I think 206 is about the latest I've seen him go. So, but just for an idea on where he's going.
I've also heard or seen like James Cook go at like 1-2. So, I mean, you're not, if you're getting him in this range and that second round range, that's completely fine and acceptable.
Yeah. That draft, James Cook went 108.
Yeah.
Right before Christian Watson.
Yeah. So normally like my big issue with players is like, they're going so early compared to like maybe what they're really should be at. And this is completely fine, right? Him, yeah. Algier, like they're going in like the right spot where they need to be going for their potential outlook, right? So, and I have no issue. I may not necessarily like him, but I like where he's going, and I'm willing to, like, I see some things I'm willing to, you know, accept and for the price.
Yeah, there's potential there.
Yep.
With the spot and everything.
All right, next up, 49ers dash some more dreams, I guess, here.
Yeah, yet another 49ers running back to make you worry about that backfield. Tyrion Davis Price, 6 foot, 211, 4.48, 40, and really not a very good vert, 30 inches. So may lack some explosion there.
He might need Game of Thrones like nickname though. Like it's too obvious to ignore. The midget won't work, but or whatever, the dwarf or whatever. So
yeah, we'll have to come up with one something Lannister related or something. But positives on Davis Price here: big frame, well proportioned build, so drops pads effectively between the tackles and absorbs hits. His run balance and power help him to pick up extra yards post contact. Above average open field speed for his size. He's a bigger back, but he looks pretty quick or pretty fast in the open field once he gets up to speed. One of the most consistent pass blockers I saw so far. Looked pretty good in the pass blocking game. His most productive runs came in the second half of games, kind of at his best late in the season. So this last seven games of 2021, he averaged 123.3 yards per game, which kind of reminds you of Henry as well. The negatives on him, he's quick but not explosive, especially when trying to bounce outside. So there's that 30-inch vert kind of tells the story on that one. Not very explosive. Needs work on pacing and knowing where his blockers are. Kind of saw him get stacked up behind his blockers a couple times. As alluding to this next thing, too much contact inside sometimes with his own blockers. He scored a touchdown in only 3 of 12 games in 2021. 3 fumbles on 221 touches in 2021. Averaged less than 5 yards per carry all 3 seasons in college. He's not a lot of passing game work, so not proven there, and I don't think any special teams experience that I could dig up.
Yeah, I've definitely got some complimentary things here for my stuff, but he did look game fast. So, that's kind of, we talk about it, right? How does he look on tape? He certainly looked fast in the on the tape, right? So I'll give him that. And he had a 90th percentile speed score, according to Player Profiler. So maybe not reflected in his 40 there, but certainly looked a little fast. Kind of one of these things, like, doesn't avoid contact, and he's tough, right? Which is nice. That's a good. It's a blessing and a curse at times, right? So to me, it's kind of he can withstand the hits. Has a pretty nice stiff leg cut. It gets north and south fast, so very not doesn't necessarily waste a lot of time with like dancing around and stuff. There's definitely some stuff he bounces outside, and it looks fine too. But very very good at north and south. Kind of running. I'm not, and this kind of hits on some of the stuff you talk about. I'm not sure that he can be a short yardage or like a goal line. Even on touchdowns that he scored, it seemed like he got held up a little bit, right? Like he still got in, but it was just like he was kind of trying to fight through it. And I don't know if that really plays out well at the NFL level, right? He doesn't maybe get those kind of TDs. So that's a little concerning. All of his 2021 TDs came within just 3 weeks, and they were all back-to-back weeks. So it was like 2, 3 and like 4, whatever it was. It was all within this 1 3-week stretch. All the rest of the time, he had no TDs rushing. At least I'm pretty sure he didn't have receiving, but maybe one. But yeah, basically they all came with that chunk. And then this goes back to kind of what you talk about is rushing average. So he has the career average of like a 4.8. But I think it's kind of deceptive. You subtract 3 big games, and I even gave him credit for 2 like 106, 108 yard performances. His average, so you subtract like 3 games, his average drops down to 3.7 in 2021. So that's to me probably one of the bigger indicators for success of a running back is our average, right? And then in college, you got a pretty low average. I don't expect you to make some sort of leap, you know, in the pros on your average. And, you know, so if he feels like a running back that's going to fit in the 49ers offense well, but going to be one, it's like, when do you start him? like, you know, is it who gets injured or who doesn't play that week? Is it going to be him? Is it going to be, you know, it just, it's a mess, a running back mess that I really don't really want too much part of.
Yeah. You kind of hinted at his durability. And I mean, that's something the 49ers haven't known in their running backs for what seems like forever, was after they got rid of Frank Gore. If he can stay on the field, I mean, who knows? I mean, yeah. He's got Elijah Mitchell and Jeff Wilson in front of him.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that's the order too. I don't think Trey Sermon's in that, you know, it may have very
he's got to be battling Trey Sermon for that third spot.
Yeah, exactly. So
it probably won't be much of a battle.
Yeah. So if like he was the only guy there, then I could be a little excited, but that's unfortunately not the case. So this is a hard one for me. I did see some stuff I like, but any final drunk thoughts on him?
Yeah. Like you said, I think he fits in really well with the 49ers. I kind of project him as best as part of a rotation. So there you go. He'll break tackles late in games, and he's a plus in pass protection for what's likely a rookie quarterback or second-year, first-year starting quarterback in Trey Lance, unless we get this subtle surprise of Jimmy G starting again this year.
It's going to be all Jimmy G.
Yeah. Could definitely have it.
Well, I kind of need that to happen too. So.
I'm sure manifest
this. Anyways, that's good. Last one. This might be. I haven't looked at your notes, but this might be the one we're most excited about. Question mark.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had looked at him a little more before our draft, because I probably would have more of him. But it might be a blessing in disguise. Blessing in disguise. So Commanders took Brian Robinson Jr. out of Alabama, 6'2", 225, big dude, 4'5", 3", another not impressive vertical jump at 30 inches. But let's talk about positives here on him. He looks to me on the field like a big muscle-bound linebacker type player. Like, I could definitely see him. If I didn't know he was a running back, I would think he was a linebacker. He's a physical runner with good natural power. When he stays downhill, doesn't try to get all shifty, he can really bowl over some guys. Keeps his feet moving through contact to create some extra yardage. Makes athletic cuts and able to string multiple moves together. That's especially important for a bigger back. You don't always see that in those big guys. Only 2 career fumbles. He's outstanding on special teams, and that's a direct quote from Nick Saban. Showed mental toughness and patience waiting behind Damian Harris, Josh Jacobs, and Najee Harris, and behind Bo Scarborough one of those long-forgotten names at this point. But
this is a little concerning, but...
Yeah, so 4 years behind those guys, 2 years behind Najee Harris, and then 2 other single years behind the other two. And then he got to play another year because of the COVID year. He took that option and ran with it. Negatives, just kind of average bursts between the tackles. Struggles to avoid early traffic at the line of scrimmage. So if defenders get in there, he's probably going down. Doesn't make defenders miss consistently in space. And only 3 of his 545 career carries resulted in 25 plus yards. So that's all I had on him, Daryl.
Yeah. I see him as another strong runner, right? Just in general. After he got kind of like through the line and into space, yeah, maybe he's not going to make somebody miss, but it seemed like he was often dragging people. You know, and the first tackler failed, or it took a couple guys, right? So I saw some definite power there. 0 fumbles in 21. So always nice. 7th most 15 plus yard catches. 34. I messed that up. I don't even read that. I think it's like 3rd most missed tackles. I don't know why it says 34, but maybe that's how many he had. But I think it's 34 missed tackles. But then ninth in yards after contact. Man, I'm really messing up my own notes. But and really, the last thing I really had is a negative. It's not really a negative on him outside of what you have, but I liked him, and I'm glad I'm not a Gibson owner, because I think this takes away a lot of the Gibson touchdown potential here with the short line stuff. So I don't know. Yeah, I agree what you said kind of here at the top. Like, I wish I'd kind of looked at him a little bit before, because I would have maybe taken him in some spots. Because where we drafted so early, I hadn't looked at half these guys, you know.
Yeah.
So basically, I look at them as we do this. So I'm kind of at a disadvantage, but otherwise, that's a lot of homework. So, but yeah, not too bad. I finally see why people are a little worried about Gibson now. So.
He's so we're in the third round, going into the third round of this draft, and he is still on the board, and we're at pick 3-2. I'm at 3-6. So
that feels completely acceptable. I mean, I don't know who else you're targeting or looking at, but
I mean, after watching him, I kind of feel comfortable. I feel comfortable taking him at the middle to back end of the second.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah.
Especially in this draft, and I mean, I think we've talked about this before, but I mean, I've gotten out of most of my Gibson. I've kept a couple shares here and there just because you just never know. Robinson could just be a spell guy or wait a couple years on guy. But yeah, final drunk thought, looks like a one cut back with third down upside for him, third down short yardage upside, goal line stuff. Kind of reminded me of Latavius Murray. Watched him, just a pretty good athlete, can catch the ball.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, he's like 52 receptions, career receptions, I think it was, or
yeah,
something, or last year or whatever it was, I forget. But yeah, I mean, that was pretty impressive. So
yeah, like Latavius, not a huge part of his game, but he can do it when asked.
Yep. And I liked that when I saw that it said Latavius, and that's another reason why I think you should be a little worried about Gibson's touchdown potential. So
yeah,
see, he was kind of always been one of those, Latavius was kind of those guys that like kind of took away from the other guy that was there.
You know? Oh yeah, for sure.
All right. I won't use the happy hours drop on this one, cause it's not a happy hour trade. This is more of a PSA to people. So I was just, I only had two beers and it was like getting ready to go to ice hockey. So I was like kind of in a hurry, but not really. And I saw a trade come through and I did not pay enough attention to it. And part of it is I get kind of annoyed by that stupid, like send a message thing. Cause not only do I have to go into the league on Sleeper and then look at the trade, I have to go in there and clear out the message. Right. And it just really annoys me. So like I kind of went through that really quickly, that process, and saw, oh, Robert Woods for a 2023 first. I thought I was getting the first. So I didn't even like pay any attention. I jumped all over it. It was like one of those, like, you know, smash accepts. Unfortunately, that was not the case. So I ended up trading away a 23 first for Robert Woods. And it took me like, even that I went back, looked like three times, right? And I even sent my normal like gifts, you know, that I was happy or whatever. And, you know, and I was watching it and I was like, why do I have Robert Woods still? Like, where's my first, you know, as I was like looking at my team afterwards, and it didn't really click. And it didn't click. Cause I really thought I was getting the first. And, yeah, then the message, hey, you traded away a next year first, please pay for next year. And I'm just like, oh shit. Like I popped up. So it was my fault. I didn't even ask you to be like, you know, hey man, I actually didn't want to accept that. Like it was a mistake. I said, fuck it. Like,
yeah, I mean, you could have done that with the guy you traded with. Hey, I messed up, but I mean, you're co-commissioned that league, I believe. So, I mean, you could have asked me, but at that point I would have been like, it's out of my hands, man. You got to work it out with your trade partner or just accept it, which you did.
Yeah, I went with the I'll just accept it method, you know, because I mean, it was my mistake, right? I mean, I should have. So, all right. I need a Robert Woods wide receiver one season. So that'll save everything. But there was comments like, that's not going to be like a one-on-one pick. People think that like my team's like, that's now I'm going to be like the worst team. And I don't agree with that at all. I was actually pretty close to being pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
So, and I had quite a few picks in that league this year. So in the first round. So.
Yeah. Actually, I don't mind Robert Woods at all. I mean, it was definitely an overpay, but yeah, I didn't think it was like crazy.
Yeah.
Because when I thought I was like 23 first for Woods. Yeah. It's a little much. I don't know how he got there. But I guess it's okay.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It makes me feel a little bit better. But no, it's certainly a mistake. But I'm due one a year, right? Last year, I don't even think dropping Marquise Brown was that bad of an idea last year.
I've never even really heard you talk about Robert Woods either. So I was like, it's just weird all around.
Yeah. That's my trades.
Yeah. Attention to detail.
Yeah. I faltered on that one. So.
Last call.
Trying to feel a little bit better here with some nice joyful music here. So
yeah.
It looks like I think we agree on this last call item you got here.
Yeah, I just wanted to just trash the whole schedule release as they're trickling out information over a freaking like week or two. Like, I just think it's stupid. Just give us a date and tell us the entire schedule for all the teams on a date. Like, let's not create this big media insider BS.
Well, that's what it is, right? So they're just trying to drive the media stuff and the engagement and all this. And it feels very phony to me. You know,
I mean, some of the team produced videos were kind of entertaining,
but that was like after they got the schedule was out anyways. Like, that's so fine.
Just have a schedule release show and play those during the show.
Don't do like, oh, on Tuesday, we're going to release ESPN's games. Like, I think by whatever the 12th or whatever saw a thread, it already had like 3/4 of the games out. It was like, you're just filling in a couple of dates here. It's just like,
Yeah,
no, I'm with you. I think it's stupid. And I was very turned off, like not even like a date. Like, as soon as they said that Green Bay was going to London, that was about after I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I don't care. Like,
I just got annoyed and I stopped paying attention. I was like, I'll just wait till I see a tweet or something with the full schedule.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll look at it from there because I'm not invested enough if all they're playing on Sunday night or NBC or who cares? I do not care.
Yeah.
You know,
and I had a recommendation for a stand-up special on Netflix. It's really funny. Me and Ashley laughed our asses off watching it. It's Christina Pajitsky. It's called Mom Jeans on Netflix. I don't know if you know who Christina Pajitsky is. It's Tom Segura's wife.
Oh, okay.
They do a podcast together. But it was hilarious, man. It was one of the best stand-ups I've seen in a long time. I watch a lot of stand-up, so.
This is truthful because this is unsponsored. So,
thanks. Yeah, pretty fun. Netflix needs all the help it can get right now, too. So.
Hey, I'm 2 episodes behind on Halo right now. I just like, as soon as I get behind on shit, I just don't look. So,
oh, yeah.
All right. I think it does it for this week. More rookies to come. I think probably next week, probably a mixture of running backs and tight ends and wide receivers. We're kind of just basically going from like how they got drafted, working our way down to get to our about a 60. So
I could do a special edition sleeper episode somewhere in here soon.
Yeah. We're kind of getting through those guys that are in landing spots and also kind of decent. And then we're going to start getting in, especially when we start digging in like tight ends and stuff. Then, you know, it's going to get a little dicey here a little bit. So
tight ends are dicey. We can't even dedicate a whole episode to those guys.
Yeah. They'll be sprinkled in.
Or quarterbacks. Like we've already hit all the decent quarterbacks. So it's like no one else is worth talking about.
Yeah, totally. So I don't know. Got anything else?
That's it, man.
All right, buddy.
Oh, next episode is 100.
It is. Yes.
Just caught that.
Good one. Yeah.
This is 99.
99. Wow. Yeah. Episode 100. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning into the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Until next time, remember, NFL players don't care about your fantasy team, but we do.